In the 1990s through the present, Dr. Bob Jones III, president of Bob Jones University, often reminds those attending chapel services that the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. Let's listen now for the chapel platform, which comes to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Those who speak in chapel, the morning worship service, and other services on the campus have been greatly used of God. Today's speaker is the late Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, who at the time was director of ministerial training for the university. He delivered this message on Sunday, February 18, 1973, at a morning worship service at the university. Speaking of several current events, such as Key 73, Dr. Stenholm mentions the possible effects and some of the bitter fruit born of such misguided attempts at so-called Christian fellowship and witnessing that ignored biblical principles. Our goal is to win souls for Christ, letting men know of the urgency of their need for salvation from sin, and to lead souls to Christ in a manner that is accord with God's will and His Word. Keep in mind that only God knows the appointed time as to when men will go out into eternity. Be sure to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, through chapter 5, verse 11 for the text. Dr. Stenholm's timely challenge is titled, Now is the Day of Salvation.
As you can well understand, the scripture lesson this morning would remind you that our Lord is returning. During the past number of months, we have made many announcements in the chapel. We have informed our many friends that so-and-so has passed away suddenly, others by some tragedy, others of natural sources. In my own life, during this past week, I have experienced the loss of two friends. One who was a wonderful Christian, who was not afraid to die, was ready to meet the Lord at any time that he might call. The other, I have no assurance that he went to be with the Lord. I spoke to him on many occasions. I pled with him. I read out of the scripture. I'd hoped that somehow he might come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I spoke to him last Wednesday night, a week ago, on the phone. Someone called on Friday night and said, did you know that so-and-so had passed away? I said, is that possible? I just spoke to him the other night. There was no any indication that he would leave. Seemed to be in the best of health. He wasn't despondent. He was mighty jubilant, enthusiastic. I wouldn't have believed that suddenly he would be gone. Then I looked back and I thought, my, I wish I had been more fervent. I wish I had made a better effort to convince and to show him the joy that he could have in Christ. The seed was sown, but I wonder, did I do my best? Did I put forth every effort to help that person? Well, only God knows this morning. But I want to remind all of us today in this auditorium and to the unseen audience listening over the air that there is a day coming when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There are many promises in the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament, that encourage us. We're grateful as we see the hand of God upon our lives. When it seems as though there's going to be defeat, disillusionment, disappointments and discouragements, sometimes in the darkest hours, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And He gives to us the assurance that I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now you say, why would one speak this morning in this audience on the second coming of Christ? Are we not all saved? Have we not all had a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Cannot we look back in our lives and remember the day and the hour that we found Him and we trusted Him and we confessed our sins and He forgave our sins. That may be true. But I think we need to be reminded of this great, wonderful doctrine of the second coming of Christ, because we have a great responsibility in the life that remains and the future that is ours, that we might tell a poor, lost soul about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be busy about His work, establishing ourselves as truly His servants, as ambassadors of Christ, revealing that He alone can save and no one else, and that He can give unto man eternal life. There might be some in our student body this morning, in spite of the preaching in the chapel, the prayers in the classroom, on the athletic field, in the social functions, in many ways, you've heard the word and you've heard the truth. It's been preached time and time again, and yet in this student body, it could be possible that a student would be lost and doomed and on his way to hell. I'm sure there are those who are listening to the broadcast today who perhaps can look back at tradition. Perhaps you've been very active in attending your Sunday school. Maybe you've been to your church. Maybe there's been many lessons that have been given to you, but down deep in your heart, you've never had an experience with Christ. You've never known what it is to have the joy and peace which only the Lord can give. And so we have a definite assurance and definite truth that there is going to be a resurrection. There is going to be a return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a certainty of a Christian having a resurrection. When the saints shall be resurrected, when that trumpet sounds. Now, I would like to remind you that there is nothing said about a resurrection at the first resurrection of the wicked. Only those that are in Christ, those that have preceded us by death, and to those of us who remain, there is a first resurrection, and you and I are going to be a great part of that resurrection. Something that we're looking forward to with great anticipation and joy and cheer today. But are we looking forward to it? Have we thought about this great event? Or are the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the anxieties of the world, so steeped in our own hearts and lives that we do not take time to think and to realize that the Lord is coming again? And also, I thought about that first resurrection. I'm so glad that I don't have any part in the second resurrection. When the evil and the wicked shall be resurrected. And then I thought, my, that first resurrection will certainly be a great thing when we'll have a new body. This old fleshly body of ours with all its difficulties, with all its trials, will disappear. And you and I will be transformed into the image of Christ. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Then I thought about these wicked sinners lost without the Lord in that second resurrection, whose bodies will not change, who will continue in agony and pain and torment. And no damnation can befall us as Christians because we will have been resurrected. We will have new bodies. We will sing of the redeemed. We will enjoy the wonderful things that God will provide for us. Now, I was thinking in this resurrection and when we're with the Lord, we enjoy the beautiful art that we see today, the beautiful pictures that God has made, the beautiful sunrise in the eastern horizon, and on the western horizon in the evening, the sunset. And we look upon the various colors in the skies and we see the moon in the evening as it shines. The beautiful springtime as the flowers begin to show and the foliage comes in the leaves, and we hear the birds as they sing, and we see the mountain tops, and we see the deserts and the lakes and the streams, and we say, my, how glorious and how beautiful it is. God made it possible. And yet, what wonderful thought to know that we have seen no beauty until we see Him. As we look upon the New Jerusalem, our new residence, new mansions in the sky. I always recall Dr. Jones many times saying, it must be beautiful. God has been home now nearly 2,000 years. The Lord's been there 2,000 years doing a little interior decorating. How beautiful it must be as we think of the golden streets, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more agony, no more pain. But just remembering that we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord ought to give you a greater joy and a peace in your life to do everything that you possibly can to lead souls to Him. Now, I know this doctrine has taken a lot of abuse. There's been much said against the second coming of Christ. Some years ago, there was a thought that the world was going to get better and better and better, and we would have total utopia on earth. And they were known as the post-millennialists. And again, I don't know whether it was our founder, but someone said, now the post-millennialist has no post in which to lean on. The world is not getting better and better. It is getting worse and worse. We're not evoluting. We're devoluting. And thus, as the world goes on, we see that there's no hope for the future as far as any improvements are concerned. But you and I have a future beyond this world when death comes to see the beauty that God can give to us. Now, this school has never classified itself in its creed as far as the millennial or the coming of the Lord, but we're premillennial in our thoughts and in our views. We believe that there's going to be a tribulation period, and we're looking forward to that time. Now, there's a certainty that the Lord will come. Now, we look about the world today and we see evidences that He is coming. We see the great powers today that want to destroy the very things that you and I believe in. Down through the course of human history, there have been powers that would seek to destroy the testimony of God. We think of Pharaoh as he controlled the Egyptians, as he controlled the Israelites, had them in bondage and fear, and he hoped that he could abolish God and destroy the things of God. But God cannot be destroyed. When Babylon existed, Nebuchadnezzar thought that he could convey to all the world that he was the mighty man of God, of Baal. He tried to conquer the world, but God saw to it that Babylon was not going to take over. And God had some men available at the proper time, and thus we saw the power of God. Down through the ages, we've seen governments come and go, hoping that they might be able to destroy the basic philosophy of God and tear down the Scriptures and to lead benighted souls into the depths of hell. But God has resisted, and God is on the throne, and He's on the throne today as men in governments try to destroy the Word of God, to break down the joy and the peace that we have in the Lord. Today, the ecclesiastical authorities would seek to deny the basic fundamentals of God's truth. I was rather amused, and yet I thought how pathetic that announcement was made that out in the East, the last Sunday of this month, one of the large churches and one of the large denominations was going to have a great day for the Key 73. Beginning early in the morning with a breakfast, continuing with a Lord's Supper in the morning service, and yet that very church denies the virgin birth of Christ. does not believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, makes a mockery of the historic Christianity and the death and burial of the Lord, and yet to have a Lord's Supper in all blasphemy and hypocrisy, but to top it all off that night, in just 2 weeks, there will be a dance given by the church in the interest of Key 73. My friends, those folks that permit this and carry on this are not looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more interested in their social welfare, their own philosophy of life, their own ways than they are the Lord. And there's going to be a rude awakening when someday in the second resurrection they arise and realize they're lost and doomed and on their way to hell. Now, there may be some here in the auditorium this morning. You've never gone down into the dregs of sin as some have. You've never been known as a drunkard. You've never been known as a thief. You've never known the horrible consequences of sin, but I want to tell you, in the presence of God Almighty, if you're not saved, you're lost. And you're as much on your way to hell as those who would seek to have some kind of a religious structure and standards that are contrary to the Word of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I wonder how long it has been since you spoke to that loved one about the Lord Jesus Christ. How much effort you put forth to lead that person to a knowledge of Christ. Just before we came onto the platform this morning, one of the members of the choir made reference to one of our dads of our students who passed away on Friday. There had been much prayer for that man that he might come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And just before he passed away on his deathbed, he told his loved ones, "I'm ready to die. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior." He closed his eyes and went home to be with the Lord. I presume that there has been some prayer on behalf of this father, this husband. I'm sure that in real desire, students here in this university have prayed earnestly that this dad might be saved, and we thank God the prayer was answered. Now, the hope today is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and we have a certainty today. We have a certainty we're strangers in a foreign land. Have you ever thought how difficult it is that you try to live a Christian life in America? Why it is that they try to work against us as university? Why they are opposed to some churches that stand for the gospel of Christ? Why they are opposed to the Bible when we seek to give its contents and preach the word and be instant in season and out of season? Do you know why the world fights us and is opposed to us? Against the standards that you and I uphold, because, you know, we're actually not citizens of this country. Now, in a fashion, we are. But you and I are citizens of heaven. Someday we're going to be with the Lord. Now, the world doesn't understand our position. They can't understand why we take the standard that we do, why we don't participate in some of the things that the world has to offer. Why is it they say you don't understand the delightful and the wonderful music that's being made today? Well, I would like to remind them that someday we're going to hear music we've never heard before. when angels will set their tune on harps of gold. We're going to hear the music and the melody that will go through the skies that will surpass anything that we've ever heard in our hymnals. We're going to hear the symphonic music that God can give to us, and we're going to sing His praises throughout all eternity. But the world today doesn't understand that. They would like for us to enjoy the music that comes from the jungles, that comes from dynamic powers and pressures, but they do not want to listen to the beautiful music that comes from the Lord Almighty. We think of the beauty that we're going to behold, as I said a few moments ago, when we see the Lord. I've enjoyed the beauty that God has created. I love to go up to the mountains. I like to see the riverbeds. I like to see the lakes, the deserts. I love to see what God's created. But I'm looking forward to the day when I can see the beauty that God has made. And I can enjoy the wonderful things that He's created. We look at the stars above and we say there are myriads of millions and millions of stars. We marvel as we think of how man has tried and has successfully gotten to the moon. He's been able to find a little dust, and they brought it back. And they've been trying to tell us that it's billions of years old, and they're trying to explain certain things. But I haven't heard any of them mention that God was the great creator. I haven't heard them give recognition that God made all these things possible, yea, even the moon. And when that trumpet sounds, you and I will take a trip that we've never had before with beauty. As we hear the angelic choir singing, as we come to meet the Lord in the air. Now there's some of you here this morning that are not going to have that privilege. There are some of you here today that are trying to cover up. Oh, you've been brought up in a Christian home. You've had many to pray for you. You've had many to read the Bible. Perhaps many times your mother, when you were a little child, used to put you on her knee and she sang the little songs. And you heard the prayers that were offered up. But you've neglected to follow through. And you've lived your own life and you want to do as you please. And maybe you're here right in this school today putting on a front. I say to you, God have mercy. God is no respecter of persons. The obituary column does not contain the list of those that are over 70 years of age. It has a listing of those that are little infants, those that are in their teens, those that are in the middle age. God calls. And I want to impress upon you today, students, that we ought to be concerned about those that are lost and do everything that we possibly can. If we have a roommate that's not saved, God help us to try to lead that soul to Christ. If when we go on extension and we thank God for the faithfulness of our fellows and our girls that are going out every weekend as they touch the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people, but I wish that we had even more consideration and concern about those that are lost as we see them on the street, in the jails, in the old folks' homes, in the children's homes, in our churches and other areas of the world. Oh, that we might have a desire and a joy to see them saved. But is that joy and desire in your heart today? What a contrast it's going to be for a sinner when he is resurrected, that second resurrection day. We talk about pollution today and we're much concerned about it, but I think of the horrible pollution that will exist in hell. Men will cry out in agony and pain, asking for a drop of water to quench their thirst, but not able to secure it. Asking if there might not be another opportunity to be saved. Horrified, the gnashing of teeth, the wailing, and the mourning that we'll see. Those bodies that are degraded and ruined and racked and ruined, not changed, still continuing on in agony and pain. Oh, how we ought to take stock of our own lives, friends. How we ought to thank the Lord this morning that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal Savior and that we're on our way to heaven. And we can rejoice and thank God for His blessings, and let's do something about it. I shall never forget one of the last sermons that I heard Dr. H.C. Morrison preach. And some of you know that I sometimes used to imitate him. But I never shall forget when he gave the illustration of taking the elevator and going down to visit hell. And he had the ability to illustrate better than any person I've ever heard. And as he goes down, down, down towards the pit of hell, it gets darker. And you hear the cries of those that are in hell. And you hear the wailing and the mourning and the anguish, calling for help and wanting to get out, but it's too late. Dr. Morrison would describe to us some of the personalities that he would meet. And he would ask them the question, "Why are you here today? Why didn't you trust the Lord? Why did you deliberately refuse to listen to the Spirit of God as He spoke to your heart?" Of course, there would be some kind of an excuse, some kind of an answer. And he'd find someone else and he'd see that individual and ask him that question. And then he said, "I think I've seen all I want to see. Let's get back up to earth and get ready for the trumpet when it sounds. My, how much clearer it's going to be, how much more wonderful, how beautiful, how majestic, that someday we're going to take the flight to the world unknown. But someday we'll be known when we see the Lord Jesus Christ." Is there someone in hell tonight or today because you and I neglected to tell the good news that Jesus saves? Are we responsible today for someone that went out because we were negligent and indifferent and did not want to tell that individual about the Lord? We have a reputation at Bob Jones University of being a soul-winning school. We've had the joy of seeing thousands of souls come to Christ, and we're thankful for it. But I wonder if we couldn't have been more diligent in our responsibility as we sought to lead the lost to Christ. He's coming soon. It won't be long. And I want to ask you today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I don't know when the Lord's coming. I have absolutely no idea the time, nor the day, know the hour when He comes. There have been some in the past that have made certain dates and they prepared for it. The Lord didn't come. But I know that He's coming as a thief in the night. When we least expect Him, we ought to prepare as if He's coming within the next 5 minutes. I must confess that I have not always done that. I haven't had a continual look towards the future in that respect. I ought to. We all ought to. But there's a season coming, a time coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ will call. And they're talking about peace today. What kind of peace? The peace table consists of many peoples, of various governments, of various religious beliefs, of various personalities. And they've gotten around this peace table and they hope that they can bring about universal peace and someday we'll have total utopia. I say that the only peace that you and I will ever know will be the peace when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Do you have that peace in your heart today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He's coming. He's coming soon. Let's be prepared. Let's win the battle for Christ by leading others to Him. Now, this is a beautiful Lord's Day. We're sitting in a dedicated campus in an auditorium that God has given to us. But away from this structure are teeming myriads of millions and billions of people lost without Christ. And I don't know the statistics, I used to hear them, but there are so many each second going out into eternity lost. 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 How many are you going to try to win to Christ while we still live in the day of grace? Students, have you been busy for Christ, looking forward to that time when He'll give you a joy and peace that you've never had before? Are you saved? Visitor, do you know the Lord? Students, if you're saved, is there a concern in your heart to read the Word, to pray, and to win the lost to Christ? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. The Lord's coming. He's told us many times in the Word. If we knew the hour and the moment that He would come, I'm sure many would make their plans accordingly. But He hasn't told us when that will be, but He's told us He's coming. I'm sure that the vast majority who are here today are ready for that call, either by death or by His coming as the trumpet sounds. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who says, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I've put on a sham. I've sung these songs. I've attended services. I've even given statements that I was a Christian, but down deep in my heart, I've never surrendered to the Lord, never given Him my life. I'm lost this morning. And I'd like to be remembered in prayer. I wonder if you think enough of your eternal destiny to ask us to remember you in prayer this morning. If so, would you just quietly raise your hand and say, pray for me today? Is there one? There a student? Been running away from the Lord? Never made that stand for Christ? Maybe a visitor here on this campus? You're not saved. You know not know the joy and peace which the Lord can give. Would you like to be remembered in prayer this morning? Would you raise your hand right where you are? Now, our Father, we do thank Thee today for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the hope that we have in the coming of the Lord. But now, our Father, we pray that Thou will speak to us as Christians. We've been neglecting our opportunities. We haven't been praying for our loved ones. We haven't written them a letter to tell them that Jesus loves them. We haven't called them on the phone. We've made no effort whatsoever. And sometimes we get the tragic news that a dad or a mother, brother or sister has died, was not saved. Lord, we pray that Thou'll forgive us. And while the organist is playing, I wonder if there are those of you who are saved. Say, Dr. Stenholm, I have failed. I have made very little effort to try to lead others to Christ. I haven't thought much of the second coming of my Lord. And I ask that You pray for me that I might be fervent in spirit and serve Him and try to lead others to Christ. I want God's will for my life. I haven't had the victory in my life. Remember me in prayer this morning. Would you raise your hand right where you are? God bless you. Yes, I see those hands. The balcony, downstairs, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. Others, pray for me today. I want God's best for my life. I've been negligent. I've been indifferent. pray for me today, raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. The number of hands raised. Our Father, Thou knowest each one this morning. Lord, we could have a revival in this nation with this student body. No, God, we pray that Thou will speak to each one today. May we have victory. May we know of souls that are saved because of a decision made this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, the late Dr. Gilbert Stenholm, the title of his message, Now is the Day of Salvation, and also be sure to mention today's date. Join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.